Isaac preached it, Doreen preached it, pretty much kind of the same thing that I felt like the Lord gave me. So, isn't he good? Okay, let's pray first and then, yeah. Lord, we just thank you. We just honor you today. It's Memorial Day, and we're going to honor you, first of all, Lord. You're so good, and we just thank you. We thank you for this church body, Lord, this family. We thank you, Father, and your will be done. And Lord, help me to say what you want us to hear today. Give us ears to hear, Lord, and just help me, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today is Memorial Day. Everybody knows that. And it's also Day of Pentecost. You know, I was like, okay, Lord, so how, you know, I don't got, you know, one day I said, I don't got nothing. So you're going to have to help me, and that's when he reminded me. Okay, it's Memorial Day and the Day of Pentecost. So I've really, first of all, I looked up what is Memorial Day. It was first originated in the year following the Civil War to honor those who served and died. Good thing, right? Then I got to think of, well, all the other wars. There's been a lot. You know, and then I, like Christy was talking about the horses and chariots back in the Old Testament times. There was wars then. And then I got thinking, you know, God, you're a man of war. He was a man of war back then, fighting the enemies. Exodus 3:15, though, it says, moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. You know, and people are people. You know, this age, years ago, back in World War I, World War II, you know, sometimes I think we get so focused on our time that we're in that we forget. You know, God's been around a long time. And this is his earth. He created it. He has a plan. He has a purpose. And he is going to have his way. Now, we know we have to deal with Satan because Adam gave the lease of earth to Adam. But his time is, there will come an end to that. And Jesus, you know, will come back and judge. But even in the midst of that, we don't have to succumb to the enemy and his plots and plans. You know, the Bible says, be wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove. We, you know, we're in this world, but we're not of it. We're not of the world system. We're in God's system. And then the Lord reminded me of his covenant, the covenant that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He gave him, he said, I will make you a blessing. I will make you father of many nations. That covenant is still in place today. It's still happening today. Then I remembered, you know, God made a covenant with the Puritans and the Mayflower Compact. God has raised up Israel to show himself to the world. He raised up America and the church. We are still showing who God is. And he, like the song said, he's done it before, he'll do it again. He's not done. Amen. So I just want to honor those, anybody here that has served in the military? Al, didn't you? No? Okay. Well, I'll give honor. I was thinking about my dad and my family. I had three uncles and my dad, and they were all in World War II. One was in England. He was a fighter and a B-17 gunner, you know, you see him in the movies. He was in England. One was in the Philippines on a ship, a destroyer. One was based in Hawaii, and then my dad was based out of San Diego in the ships. And they came back, and, or, you know, you, they didn't, I wasn't alive then, but I'd ask my dad stories, you know, years later, you know, what it was like. And my uncle even wrote a book about it. And the one thing that he always said, he goes, I could feel my mom's prayers. My grandma and everyone, and my dad said every one of his brothers said the same thing. They know there were times when they knew that it was miraculous. And my grandma, she was praying for him. So that's a huge memorial, you know, to remember that God, even in the midst of all this war, all this fighting, you know, when we pray for Sasha, I think of that. God is protecting them. Our prayers do matter, which kind of ties in with the day of Pentecost, but let me go back a little bit. I'm not there yet. So I was thinking about God's covenant, you know, and all the times the children of Israel, time and again, you'd read, well, they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And then here comes their enemies, you know. And then God would raise up somebody to fight against the enemies. They turn back to him. And, you know, every time they would do evil in the sight of God, the oppressors would come at them. Then they'd cry out to God, and he'd deliver them. I mean, time and time again. Today isn't any different. You know, people are people. But he's so faithful. You know, he's so faithful that way. But then he said, the book of Judges. And I thought, okay. So I started reading the book of Judges. And at that time, it was 330 years that there was no king in Israel. It was a mess. It was, you know, where Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord continually. And then, but then in Judges chapter 4:6, this is good. This is timely, I think. God raised up Deborah. She was a prophetess, and she judged and led the children of Israel for 40 years, and she was a woman. Then, later on, chapter 4:6, then it also talked about, she told, what was his name? I've got it written down here. Barak. That the Lord told through Deborah, said, Barak, you go in and fight Sisera, and I will deliver him into your hands. Well, Barak was afraid. He didn't trust God. And because he said, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. He told this to Deborah. So Deborah said, okay, I'll go. So then... later on, I didn't write the verse, but it's when they got to, they were going after Sisera. Well, he was tired, and he went into the house of Jael. She was the wife of Kenat, the wife of Heber the Kenat. And what did she do? He fell asleep. She gave him some milk. He fell asleep. She took a tent peg and put it in his temple. And that's how God delivered Sisera into their hands. So, and that was another woman. So when that, you know, and this is not just here. I've heard it in other places of the body of Christ. When that religious spirit comes up and says, a woman can't lead, a woman can't teach, a woman can't preach, you just say, Deborah and Jael. Yeah. You know? No, well... Not literally, you know, because, yeah, God will use who he needs to use, but, you know, that it's gotten a little old, and it's not just here, it's in the whole body of Christ, and the Lord is calling us higher, come on. The days are running short. You can see it. You can see it in the political realm. You can see it in our culture. They're targeting our kids. That leads me to the next. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. The planet belongs to the Lord. So yes, Satan is the god of this system, but God is the judge, and he will judge the wicked. Yes, he wants all men to repent and come to salvation, but he comes to a point where he doesn't override their will. So I believe we're coming into a season where judgment is coming. Judgment for the wicked, but there'll be power and glory and refuge for the church, because he wants us to show forth his power. I'm getting ahead of my message. I better stop. Anyway, so back to, and then another thing I was thinking about, okay, you know, the rise of Hitler and World War I, and if you do a study, even back in, right before World War II, I think it's called the Weisner Republic, right before the Third Reich rose up, same thing as that is happening today. Transgenderism, social injustice. So we can see the enemy, there's nothing new. You know, the Lord told me one day, he goes, same devil, different decade. But we have to be wise. And God wants to use us to reach the lost, those that are in darkness and can't see it. We got to get rid of, again, that religious mindset. Jesus had to deal with the Pharisees. Read about it. Read about all the times they came up against him. Well, you're not following the law. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. You know, and Jesus finally said to him, I am the law. You know, sometimes we have to be firm. And another thing, we need to know who we are in Jesus, in Christ. When we accepted Jesus, we're dead. You're dead, Jenny, because it's the life you live now in Christ and through Christ in God. And I thank the Lord that for the Father's love message, he's healing us. He's bringing us healing. He's restoring us. He's helping us cast down those lies and the mindsets that we're just here on earth, we're nothing, that God can't use us. No, we are his children. Amen? Okay, so let's see how my time's coming. Okay, so let's see, Lord, where do you want to go next? Okay, so we have the covenant. He's still got a covenant with us, with America, Israel, and the church. He is going to have his way. And we need to remember that Jesus, he came, that he said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He prayed before Jesus left, he prayed for his disciples. John 17, I do not pray that you, he was talking to the Father, should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And then he prayed for all believers before he died. I do not pray for those alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. That proves we're to show forth God's glory. The glory, wait a minute, sorry, lost my place. The world that you sent me and I've loved you, yeah. And the glory that they may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. One day I was praying and the Lord said, remind the devil where he belongs. He's under Jesus' feet, so therefore I'm in him. He's under my feet. He's under our feet. Amen. Then I got to thinking about Pentecost, day of Pentecost. So it says, So Jesus prayed those things right before he went to the cross, right? And he said, you know, I'm going to leave you a comforter. And I want you to wait. And I just was thinking in my head, you know, how Jesus would have done that. And, you know, at the Last Supper, he said, you know, okay boys, my time's come. I have to go. I got to go back to the Father. Now I've shown you how to do it. Heal the sick, lay hands on the sick, cast out devils, preach the word, multiply the food, the loaves and the fishes. You see me walk on water. You've seen me do the impossible. So now I'm leaving you, but I'm going to send you the helper that's going to help you do all things. The same things. Just think about what the disciples would have thought. They probably thought, what the heck is he talking about? Well, they found out, didn't they? In Acts chapter 2, they went to the upper room because Jesus said, go there and wait for the promise. So they were all in one accord, waiting for the promise. So then the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Then the next, they went out, there was, 220 in the upper room, and I guess where then, it's in chapter 4, I think, sorry, I didn't write it down, but the next day they led 3,000 to church, to Jesus. Could you imagine? And I think it's going to happen for us, or, you know, God's going to use us, his glory. He's getting us ready, he's getting us set up to use his power and his glory. You know, no longer are we you know, God, meet my light bill. No, we're growing up. We're seeing what his will and his plan. It's his power. It's his glory. It's not us. We're, you know, we just be willing vessels. And I believe our church, I hate to say it, but there were some, maybe some people that had to leave. You know, so, there's so much word in the, especially America, it could float a boat. But where's the power? You know, some people just, well, I'm not being fed. Well, are you spending time yourself with the Lord every day? Because that's, he wants us to talk to him every day. That's why it says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give us our daily bread. We need it daily, not just Sunday. And don't get me wrong. I'm not condemning anyone again in the church. I'm just saying the church has had, we had to grow up some, I think. You know, one day, I don't know if it was the Lord or me, but I thought, you know, some people in the church are like fat cats. What's a cat do? Nothing against cats. I just prefer dogs. But cats, what do? They eat. They go and lay in the sun, sleep all day, snarl at you if they're moody, or if you're not getting, you know, the right kind of food. You know, when God has given us so much, we got to give out. I don't know why I said that, but praise the Lord. Well, I think, you know, there are. Maybe that's, I don't know. We need to... Right, we got to give it out. Yes, 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 yes. Okay, so let me see. What do I want next? Thank you. Oh, this is what's really good. Okay, Luke 18:1. I want to be sure and get this one in. This is about when Jesus spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart or lose hope. You know, kind of like Bob Scott said last Sunday, do you have to tithe and give? Well, no, and yes. See, yeah. So, you know, Jesus was saying that men always ought to pray and not lose hope. So if we don't pray, we could lose hope. And he doesn't want us to. Jesus died to give us an abundant life, but we can't do anything without him. So the rest of the parable is that there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubles me, and I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will always avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? I want him to find faith on the earth. And you know, the way our country's been, things have been going around, there's millions of people. We are praying, we are seeking God, we are crying out to him, and he is a just God. And it's already happening. There's awakenings all across the country. People are coming to God. So I guess the main thing, don't listen to the news. Don't listen. You know, I was reminded of a story. Lester Summerall, I don't know if some of you may know him. He was a powerful preacher, man of God, evangelist. Well, he went to visit Smith Wigglesworth in England. He was just starting out. And Smith Wigglesworth, if you ever get online and YouTube and just listen to some of his sermons and some of the things he does, it'll just build your faith and encourage you. But he went to one of Smith, it's hard to say, Wigglesworth's meetings. And Smith kind of stood out, and he invited him to his house. So here, and this was before World War I, I think. And So he came to Smith's house and he had a newspaper under his arm. And Smith said, "You leave those lies out of this house. Those lies are not coming in my house." You know, it's the things of the world system. We got to watch what we hear and see. But I thought that was, you know, and so Smith was like, "Oh, okay." So Lester said, you know, he wouldn't even let me bring the newspaper in because it was against God's plan for mankind and in the earth. Amen. Okay, so Jenny, how much time? What's my cutoff time? Okay, well, I'm almost done. 1:30. Okay, yeah, so back in the day of Pentecost. We're back to the day of Pentecost now. So the Spirit filled, they went out, and 3,000 got saved. And, you know, I've heard people say, "Oh, tongues are of the devil." Well, before I got saved, I spent a lot of time in bars, and nobody was speaking in tongues in those bars. So, sorry. Tongues are of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you. Well, no, yeah, gibberish. But so I just want to encourage you, pray in the Holy Spirit, you know, pray in your prayer language. The Bible says it's God speaks mysteries through you. Romans 8:26. And it's power. He gives us power. It gives us strength. Likewise, the Spirit helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. So he's praying for us too. We're praying for other people with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. When we pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is praying through our spirits. He's praying in the plans and purposes of God and stopping the strategies of the devil. The devil hates it so much because he doesn't know what's going on. He has no weapon against tongues. And so I just want to encourage you, pray in the Spirit, because, you know, we don't know what to pray for, but the Holy Spirit does. And can I give a quick testimony? Okay. So, I can't remember. It was about the first of the year. You know, I pray for my family. I pray for you guys every day in the Spirit and pray and lift everybody up. And my oldest brother kept, it just, he was really on my heart, and one of my great nephews. Their names are Steve and Marshall, and I didn't know why. I just was praying in tongues, but every morning, it was just like they kept coming up to me, and so I'd just be praying, you know, going on. Well, I didn't really think anything of it. I mean, just God, you know, put on my heart. Well, then, right before Easter, the Holy Spirit said to me, "Don't panic." And I just knew it was about my brother. I said, "Okay, I won't panic." So I knew something was coming. Well, then I heard that he was having heart problems. He had to have an angiogram and all that. And so I was praying. And then I heard that Marshall, my great nephew, had to have collarbone surgery. So, you know, I thought, oh, well, so I just kept praying. I didn't panic, just prayed in the Spirit. You know, I'd put them in my hands, give them to the Lord. And then guess what? They both had surgery the same day, the same time, 8:00, last Tuesday, one in Iowa City and one at the University of Minnesota. So, you know, and I've been praying and my family's been praying and they've been praying. And let me tell you, they didn't pray before. The Lord is working, moving. And if they did, they'd never admit it to me. Let's just say that. But they admitted, you know, because it is a scary, both things are a scary thing. So that morning I was praying in the Spirit at 8:00. I said, okay, it's their surgery time. So I was praying in the Spirit and the Lord just softly said, oh, back before, for my brother, I really, you know, there was a lot of anxiety and they had to wait weeks to get an angiogram, you know, and then he was online reading and goes, yeah, I've read that some people die from the stress even before they get the procedure done. And I was kind of combating that all in the spirit, you know, over his mind. And you know, that was another story. But anyway, so that morning at 8 o'clock, I was praying in the spirit. And before I'd had peace about it, both of them, you know, but that morning, you know, it's stressful. So I was praying and at 8 o'clock and I just heard the Holy Spirit said, a grateful heart. And immediately he reminded me of how he put them on my heart beginning a year. And I had forgotten about that piece. I didn't know what I was praying for. He didn't tell me back then. But it was like he just showed me. Through that whole time, the Holy Spirit was working. He knew it was coming. He knew. And they were both at the same day, at the same time. I mean, what are the odds? So, that's the prayer of intercession. And there's no special gift for intercession other than it's the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we all can have the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's no, you know, there's some teaching in the church, oh, you got the call of an intercessor. No, we all do, because it's one of the Holy Spirit's gift. We're all called to intercede and stand in the gap for each other. Amen? So I give glory to God. You know, they're doing great. And he did a work. You know, he did a work in me. I know he did a work in them and my family. Oh, my gosh, my aunts were praying. My cousins were praying. I mean, God is moving. So be encouraged. Pray in your, you know, get along with the Lord. Even, you know, when I was taking care of my dad, I didn't have a lot of time to read the word and spend time in prayer. But you know what? Whenever I went to the bathroom or in the shower, it was like, I'd pray in the spirit and God would show me something, you know? So we're busy. Yes, we're all busy. Try and make that time just to get away and just in his presence, and he'll show you. He'll show you things to come. He'll show you, and just listen to him. Let him pray through you. Okay. I think I'm done. Yeah. I just want to say, and Tom brought this up in our prayer this morning. Pray Psalm 91 over your families and Psalm 23. Psalm 91, we are in the shelter of the Most High. There may be some things that could start coming out, you know, in this world system that might be a little scary, but we're not going to fear. We are under the shadow. So pray that over your families every day. Father, I thank you. We give you all the glory, Lord. You're so good, and your mercy endures forever. You're good and your mercy endures forever. And we just thank you. I lift up every person today, Father. You love us so much. You want to spend time with us, not for us to do things, because we know our righteousness is filthy rags, but just to spend time with you, to know you and be the hands and feet of Jesus to our family and those around us. Thank you, Lord. We thank you that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I just pray blessings over everyone today, Father, as they spend time with their families today and tomorrow.